This week is going to be a little different. It's not going to be a strictly expository message as we usually have. It's going to be more topical of a message this week. But we're going to look at stewarding our talents, stewarding our God-given talents and abilities. In Judges chapter 13, 14, and 15, we find the chronicle of a man who is very well known in the scriptures named Samson. We read about the life of Samson. And in Judges chapter 13, verse number 1, it talks about the prophecy of his birth, if you will. Judges 13, verses 1 to 7, the word of God says this: "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren, and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For this child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death." Let's go to the Lord and ask him to bless the message this morning. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we come before you as people, Lord, who want to hear from you. Lord, we want to hear from you and we need to hear from you. And Lord, we seek your wisdom, we seek your guidance, Lord, on direction for our lives, Lord, and specifically this morning on stewarding our abilities. And I pray, Father, this morning that you would speak to our hearts. I pray, Father, that you would just work amongst us, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would be at work in our hearts and in our lives this morning. I pray, Lord, that we would open our hearts to receive, Lord, our minds to receive from you, Lord. Open our ears to hear from you this morning. And Lord, that we would be honest with ourselves and honest with you. Lord, you already see, you already know. There's nothing that we can really hide from you. And so I pray that we would be honest with ourselves regarding our talents and abilities and what we're doing with them this morning. I pray, Father, that you'd bless the preaching of your word. I pray, Father, that you would empower me to preach in a way, Lord, that would work in the lives of your people, that would touch hearts, Lord, and that you would just use me this morning to say the things that you would have me to say. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, every person has talents and abilities that are given to them by the Lord. Some people are good stewards of their talents. Other people squander their talents. But every person is given talents and abilities from the Lord. Whatever natural talent, whatever natural ability that you have, it comes from the Lord. In 1992, there was a 19-year-old young woman named Hannah Thompson. She was a university student at the King's College in London, and she was a semi-finalist in BBC's Young Musician of the Year competition. She played the violin. She was a semi-finalist in the BBC's Young Musician of the Year competition. She had a very promising career as a concert violinist, or maybe playing in an orchestra. She had a very promising career laying ahead of her because of this talent that she had. In just over 5 years, her music career would be in tatters as she was convicted of drug smuggling here in the UK. She became addicted to drugs and she began to smuggle to support her habit. Her drug dealers told her, well, you know, we can help you out if you would be willing to carry these drugs for us. And so she began to smuggle to support her habit. She first started smuggling marijuana from Africa. And then later she began smuggling cocaine in from South America. She was caught with over 3 kilos of cocaine in her suitcase at Heathrow Airport. and she was arrested and she was convicted for smuggling drugs into the UK. That promising musical career, that promising violin career that she had before her was destroyed in an instant when she chose to make bad decisions about what to do with her life. She squandered her talent. It's a breathtaking example of talent and ability that was wasted. Unfortunately, examples like this are too easy to find among believers as well. These are not things that only happen out in the world. Unfortunately, these are things that we see happen in the church as well, among believers. Being a believer does not automatically make us good stewards of our talents. Realize that this morning. Being a believer does not automatically mean that I'm going to be a good steward of the talent that God has given me. I've got to work at it. I've got to develop it. I've got to use it. I've got to work at being a good steward of what God has given me. We must be diligent in how we exercise our talents, and we must use them for the Lord. We must be diligent in how we exercise our talents and how we use them for the Lord. This morning, let's examine the life of Samson and three truths regarding our talents. Let's examine the life of Samson. The first thing we see is this. We see the source of our talents. Where do our talents come from? Brother Christian and Miss Catherine have an ability to play musical instruments. Where does that come from? That ability comes from the Lord. Some people have the ability to sing. I don't have the ability to sing. I make a joyful noise, but it's not singing. Okay, that comes, their talent comes from the Lord. Okay, some people have the talent of public speaking or whatever it may be. Some people are good with finances. Those talents all come from the Lord. One of the first things that we notice in regards to our talents is that they come from the Lord. The world likes to promote the romanticized notion of the self-made man. The world likes to promote this notion. I've done it all myself. You know the famous Frank Sinatra song, I did it my way. I've done it all my own way. I made myself what I am today. Well, it's true that hard work and diligence play a part, but the truth is that our talents and abilities fundamentally come from the Lord. You didn't make yourself. God made you the way He wanted you. Now, you may have honed some of your talents and abilities, but God made you the way He wanted you. Now, in this text, we see this. Go to verse 5. We read about this text. We read that this angel appears to Manoah's wife, and he tells her she's going to have a baby. And in verse 5, he tells her this, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." And so we see from before this child was even born that God had a plan for this child. Before Samson was even born, God had a plan for him. And what was God's plan? God's plan was this, that he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. It was God's plan from the beginning of, before Samson's, even his conception, that his plan in life, the plan for his life, his goal in life, the purpose of his life, was that he would begin to deliver Israel from the Philistines. Now, Judges 13:1 tells us that the Israelites were under the hand of the Philistines for 40 years at this time in history. For 40 years, they were under the authority of the Philistines. And God was going to give Samson all the talents and abilities necessary to begin delivering the people from the Philistine oppression. That's what God is talking about here. When he says that, that Samson is going to begin to deliver them from the Philistines, what did he mean? He meant, I'm going to equip this child with whatever talents and abilities he needs to accomplish this purpose. I'm going to give him the things, the tools that he needs in his life to accomplish this purpose. God does not give you a job that he does not equip you for. Understand that this morning. God does not give you a job that he does not equip you for. He does not call you to do something that he does not give you the ability to do it. Whom he calls, he equips. Okay? If God has given you something, if God has a plan for your life, and he does, he's going to give you the talents you need to carry out that plan. It's important that we understand that God equips people, the Bible teaches that God equips people with various talents. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I have quite a few favorite passages in the scriptures, but this is one of a favorite one of mine because God used this passage early in my adulthood to help me to understand some things. Deuteronomy chapter 8. The Bible teaches that God equips us with our talents and abilities. Deuteronomy chapter 8, God is kind of reproving the nation of Israel. He's kind of prophesying for them. And he's telling them, he says, you're going to go into the land, the promised land, and it's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be better than you can even imagine. And you're going to be wealthy. I'm going to bless you. The land is going to bring forth abundantly. You're going to be wealthy. It's going to be amazing. Okay? He says, because of that, your heart's going to be puffed up. Your heart's going to be puffed up. And in verse 17, he says, and thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth. You're going to say, look what I did. My might and the power of my hand has made all this happen. And in verse 18, God says this, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. God said, you're going to say, look at me. My hand and my power has gotten me all this stuff. And God says, no, you need to remember me, because I give you the power to get wealth. I give you the abilities of your life. I give you your talents. I give you the health to even work. I give you all these things, and you need to remember me because I give you the power to get wealth. And we need to understand this morning that whatever talents and whatever abilities that we have, that those come from the Lord. They do not come in and of ourselves. Whatever talent and ability you have, you did not bequeath it to yourself. God gave it to you, and that is where your talent and your ability comes from. Okay, God gave them the power to get wealth. He is telling the Israelites that he is the one that gives them the health to labor and the talents they use to make their living. We are both blessed with health and skill and ability from the Lord. We can look after our health and we can hone our skills, but the fundamental basis of it comes from the Lord. And we need to remember that this morning. And not only that, but when you became a Christian, God also gave you gifts as well. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says you were given spiritual talent and ability. You were given what the Bible calls spiritual gifts. We receive spiritual talent from the Holy Spirit. These are often referred to as spiritual gifts. Okay? Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Let's look at what the Bible says about this. We have spiritual gifts as well. Now, there's a couple different lists that are found in Scripture, but the one we're going to look at this morning is Romans chapter 12. So we have natural talent and ability that empowers us to make a living and to do certain things in our life. And then when we become a Christian, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and the Holy Spirit comes to live in your heart, then the Holy Spirit equips you with what we call spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8 is where we find them. Okay? He says, starting in verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace given unto us. So we see, we're all part of one body, okay? We're all part of one body, okay? And we are all members together, members one of another, okay? We are a family, we love one another, we're part of one body, unified as one body. But we have gifts differing according to the grace that God has given us. But we have differing spiritual gifts. He says, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on our exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And so Paul writes Romans here, and he lists for us, about seven spiritual gifts. Seven gifts that the Holy Spirit imparts to people when they become a Christian, when they get saved. Now, when you got saved, when I got saved, we did not get all seven. What does he say? He says, having then gifts differing according to the grace given to us. You may receive one or two of them. Somebody else receives one or two of them. And they get spread around in the church for the functioning of the church. Prophesying. It does not mean prophecy of the Old Testament. Like we like to think of prophecy as, I'm going to prophesy that this is going to happen next week. No, that's not what it means, prophesying. This prophesying is simply preaching. Preaching God's word. Explaining God's word. Standing up and proclaiming God's word. Prophesying. Ministering. It does not mean being in full-time ministry. It means serving. Just serving one another. Caring for one another's needs. Ministering. Okay? Ministering. Teaching. That one's very clear. Similar to the prophesying and the proclaiming. Teaching. Teaching God's word. Exhorting. Meaning encouraging. Encouraging other people. Okay? Giving. Some people have the gift of giving. Some people just like to give. They like to give financially. They like to give of their time. They just have the gift of giving. Okay? Ruling. He talks about ruling here in verse 8. He's speaking about administering and organizing. Okay? Administrating and organizing, ruling. And then he says mercy. Some people have the gift of mercy. It's not one of my gifts. I don't have the gift of mercy. Okay? But some people have it. And so we see that God gives us talents and abilities. On a personal level, he gives you natural talent and ability. On a spiritual level, in the realm of the church, he gives you spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit equips you to be a part of your local church with these gifts. And so we see, first of all, that the source of our gifts, the source of our talents, is the Lord. The source of our natural ability and our spiritual ability is the Lord. And we saw that in the life of Samson as well. The angel told her, look, God is going to use him to deliver the Israelites, to begin to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines. God is going to equip him to do this thing. Okay? So we see, first of all, the source of our talent. But then we see, secondly, the application of our talent, applying our talents. Okay, not only we have these talents, how are we to apply them? Applying our talents. As we've been given these abilities, what are we supposed to do with them? What does God expect from us in using them? We have these abilities, some of them natural, some of them spiritual. How are we supposed to use them? What are we supposed to do with them? How are we supposed to apply them? What does God expect? The biblical way to utilize our abilities is in serving other people. That is the biblical way. God gave you those talents and abilities so that you might be a blessing to other people. That is the application of those talents and abilities, that you may serve others and be a blessing to others. Think about the life of Samson. We don't have time to read all, three or four chapters here in the book of Judges. Judges 13, 14, 15, and 16 chronicle the life of Samson. But most of you know the story anyway. Think of the life of Samson. Samson did not use his talents to serve others. Samson did not use his talents to serve others. Judges 15, 20 tells us that Samson was a judge over Israel for 20 years. For 20 years, Samson was a leader in Israel. He was a judge, meaning that he led the people. He helped them he was supposed to lead them, according to what God had planned, out of oppression from the Philistines. He was supposed to solve their problems. He was meant to be a leader in Israel. But it does not seem that he judged Israel very well. Instead, Samson seems to be the kind of person that only used his talent for his own selfish desires. He seems to be the kind of person that only used his talent for his own selfish desires. Over and over in the story of Samson, you see Samson going into enemy territory to fulfill the lust of his flesh. Over and over, you see him going into enemy territory to fulfill the lust of his flesh. He took a wife from the Philistines, the sworn enemies of the nation of Israel. He took a wife from the Philistines. In chapter 16, verse 1, he traveled down to Gaza to visit a harlot, the Bible says. In the rest of Judges 16, it talks about he over and over goes to visit this lady, Delilah. Over and over, he went into enemy territory to fulfill the lust of his flesh. And it seems that Samson believed, because of his physical strength, that no matter what happened, he would be able to escape from enemy territory. I can go down there and do this thing because I'm the strongest man in the world, and no matter what, I can fight my way out. I can go down there and fulfill the lust of my flesh because I can fight my way out. And so Samson used these talents, this superhuman strength that the Lord had given him, he used it to fulfill the lust of his flesh. He used that talent for the purpose of fulfilling his own lust instead of serving his people like he was supposed to. In Judges chapter 15, we see a few instances where Samson has some great victories over the Philistines. We see where he burns their crops. We see where he kills a bunch of Philistines. And we see in verse number 14, it talks about a great battle that he had. It says, "And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. He had been bound with cords." It says, "And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men." He picked up the jawbone of a donkey and he killed 1,000 people with it. He killed 1,000 probably soldiers with it. These weren't just people walking down the street. He killed 1,000 people trained in warfare with the jawbone of an ass. That may seem like a great victory for the nation of Israel, but really, all of these things that he does in chapter 15, they're not victories to deliver the Jewish people from oppression. They're victories wrought out of his own anger and vengeance. There are times that when he burned their crops, he was mad at them for something that they had done. He had gone down to try to see his wife, and he gets down there, and her dad says, "She's not your wife anymore. I gave her to somebody else." And so what did he do? He burned their crops, and he killed a lot of Philistines. And they came back to get him. And then when they came and arrested him, then he killed 1,000 of them with the jawbone of an ass. It wasn't about fulfilling God's will for his life. It was about him wreaking his own vengeance and his own wrath upon the Philistine people. Samson was not using his great talent for the purpose God had given it to him, to deliver his people. In contrast, we as Christians are commanded. We are commanded to use our talents for other people. And I would submit to you that Samson was as well, but he did not do it. Go to Mark chapter 10. Go to Mark chapter 10. Jesus sets the example here. He tells us what we're supposed to do with our talents. Mark chapter 10, verse 42. Jesus says this: "Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them." He says when it comes to Gentiles, they love to rule over one another. They love to have authority over one another. Jesus says in verse 43, "But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all." Jesus says, you're not to use your talents and abilities to rule over one another. You're to use your talents and abilities to serve one another. Who's going to be counted great in the kingdom of heaven? The one who subjugated everybody else? No, the one who served everybody else. If you want to be great in the eyes of God, it's not that you puff yourself up and serve and rule over other people. is that you serve other people. You use your talent, your ability, the things that God has given you to serve other people. That's what Jesus said here in Mark chapter 10. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter's a little bit more blunt about it. Or maybe he's just a little more explicit about it. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. He's talking about life in the church here among fellow believers. Peter is. He's telling them that the end is at hand. And in the meantime, this is what we need to be doing. He says in verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. So we should have this self-sacrificing love towards one another. Because this self-sacrificing love covers a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Don't be grudging about opening your home to people and being hospitable to people. And then he says this in verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As every man hath received the gift. Now he's speaking here more in the context of spiritual gifts. But as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He said, as you have received a spiritual gift, okay, as you've received a spiritual gift, even so minister the same one to another. Use your spiritual gift to serve someone else. Whatever that gift is that you've been given, you're to apply it in using it to serve someone else. That's what it means. So when he says, even so minister the same one to another. Use your gifts to serve one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. A steward is one who looks after another's affairs. A steward is one who looks after someone else's affairs. And what it simply means is this: God has given you this talent so that you can look after it, and so that you can apply it wisely, and so that you can use it to further God's kingdom and to be a blessing to other people. Okay? He says, you're to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You're to be a good steward of the grace that God has given you, that what he's given you in your life, the talent that he's given you, the spiritual gift. Okay? Go back to 1 Corinthians. I know we're all over the Bible this morning, but we're just looking at some of these passages about how we're to be stewards. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is the passage that Brother Sam read for us this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it talks about the church. And it talks about that there are many parts in the church, many members, not meaning membership as we use it today necessarily, but meaning as parts of the body, a hand and a foot and an arm and a leg, many members that are part of the body, okay? And Paul is writing about this and saying there are many different members, many different parts in the church. And he's writing about using your talents, both natural and spiritual, in the church. And he says that we are all different parts of the same body. We're all different parts of the same body. Go down to verse number 15. Verse 14, he says, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So he says, if the foot says, or just pick a part, if the foot says, because I'm not an eye, I'm out of here. If I don't get to be the eye, I don't want to have anything to do with it. If I'm not part of the eye, if I'm not an eye, I'm not part of this body. He says, is it therefore not part of the body? No, it's still part of the body. It's still a foot. So the point is this: we don't have the right to complain about the talents that some people have and that we don't have. We don't have the right within the church to say, well, I'm not happy that I wasn't given, that I've not been given the gift of prophesying, the gift of proclaiming God's word. I'm not happy that I haven't been given the gift of mercy. I'm not happy that I haven't been given the gift of ministering, or I've not been given the gift of ruling. No. He says we don't have the right to make those complaints. It's not up to us to say, well, if I don't get to be the eye, then I'm not going to hang around here. He says, no, that's not the way it works. And not only that, we have no right to withhold our talent from the local church. Well, I'm not the eyes, I'm the foot, so I'm out of here. Good luck walking around without me. No, we don't have the right to withhold our talent from the church either. We don't get to complain because we don't have certain talents. And we don't get to withhold the talent that we do have. Well, you know what? I'm really good at the gift of mercy. But what I want is the gift of prophesying. I want the gift of, and if I don't get the gift of prophesying, guess what? No mercy going on around here. Paul says, no, that's not the way it works. You're still part of the church, and you still need to exercise. God still expects you to exercise your talents within the church. Look at verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. God puts the members together in the body as he sees fit. God puts the members together in the body for what he sees is needed in that body. To make this body function properly, this is the parts that they need. And those are the parts that I'm putting together. And God puts them together as he sees fit. And it's not up to us just to kick people out because we say we don't like the way they look or we don't like their spiritual gift, or it's not up to us to do things to change parts of the body. It's not up to us to say, well, I don't want to be part of that body. God puts the parts together as he sees fit to make the body function as he wants it to function, okay? And then look at verse 19. He says, and if they were all one member, where were the body? If we were all the same, if we were all eyes, where would the body be? It wouldn't function. Your body doesn't function if you just had 10 feet. It wouldn't function. You're not an octopus. That would be 8 feet. But you're not an octopus, okay? He says the body would not function if we were all one member, if we were all the same thing. Verse 20, but now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. How are we supposed to use our talents? To care one for another. The application of our talents is to serve other people. To serve other people. But that the members should have the same care one for another. Peter said it. Peter said you're to use your gifts to minister to one another. Paul says it here. We're to use our gifts to care one for another. And so we see the application of our talents. And finally, we see the purpose of our talents. The purpose of our talents. But you don't have to turn there, but back in the book of Judges, what was God's purpose for Samson's talent? What was God's purpose for Samson's talent? We have these talents now. What is their purpose? We've seen their application, but why the application? What's the purpose? In Samson's life, it's obvious that for the majority of his life, he did not glorify God with his talents. We saw the angel said that he was to be a Nazarite from the womb. There are a few qualifications to be a Nazarite, requirements. Number one, you could not shave your head. You had to let your hair grow long. Number two, you could not have anything to do with the grape. You could not handle grapes. You could not drink grape juice. You could not drink strong drink. You could not have anything to do with it. And number three, you could not have anything to do with dead bodies. You could not touch a dead body. That is the Nazarite vow. And Samson broke almost all of them. And he was to be a Nazarite from the womb. He broke almost all of them. In Judges 14, verse number 5, we find Samson in a vineyard. What do they grow in a vineyard? Grapes. What is he supposed to stay away from? Grapes. And so, some scholars say, God sent a lion to scare him out of the vineyard. And what does Samson do? He kills the lion. He kills the lion, which is not necessarily anything wrong with him killing the lion, but the sin comes when a few days later he goes back to see the lion again, and he touches the dead body of the lion. So we've seen already that he has violated two parts of the Nazarite vow. Two parts he's already violated. Samson did not use his talents to serve the Lord, to glorify God. He took a wife from the Philistines, which God had forbidden the Israelites to marry these pagan nations. He took a wife from the Philistines. He visited harlots in Judges 16, verse number 1. He had what was probably an inappropriate, immoral relationship with Delilah in Judges 16, verses 4 to 20. And he mocked his God-given strength in his dealings with Delilah. The Philistines came to Delilah and said, "Find out why he's so strong." And she kept asking him, and he would tell her all these funny stories. "Well, if you tie me up with new ropes, or if you tie my hair to the beams of the house," or he mocked his own strength to fulfill the lust of his flesh. He did not honor God with his talents. Repeatedly, we see Samson took his God-given ability for granted and used it in ways that did not glorify God. And that's the whole purpose of our talent. The purpose of our talent is to glorify God. In contrast, when you became a Christian, when you and I became Christians, we were purchased for God. We were purchased for God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 tell us this, that we were purchased for God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says this, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." When you became a Christian, you were purchased with the holy and perfect blood of Jesus Christ. You were purchased as a slave would be purchased in the slave market. Now, you weren't purchased to be a slave. You were purchased to be given your freedom from sin. Okay, but you were purchased nonetheless, and you do not belong to yourself, and I do not belong to myself. We now belong to the Lord. It says very clearly, your body, okay, is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and ye are not your own. You're bought with a price. Why? To glorify God. Because you've been bought by Him, and because you now belong to Him, you should glorify God in your body. That's what it says in verse 20, and in your spirit. And when we become Christians, the purpose of our natural ability and the purpose of our spiritual gifts is to glorify God. We no longer belong to ourselves, but we're to glorify the one who bought us. We're to glorify the one who bought us. We looked at the list of spiritual gifts in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says this, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It's our reasonable service that we would use our talents and abilities to glorify the Lord. That we would submit our bodies a living sacrifice. God doesn't want dead sacrifices. He no longer wants the lambs and the goats slain and laid on the altar. God wants a living sacrifice. "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, unto thee." God wants us to say, "My life is yours. I will use my talents and abilities for your purposes. I will use my abilities and my talents to glorify you. Take my life, Lord, and do with it as you will." Paul says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said, this is not unreasonable. This is reasonable. He gave his son to die on your behalf. This is your reasonable service. Okay? God is not asking anything unreasonable. He's not being overbearing or overly demanding. It is our reasonable service because we belong to Him. It is only reasonable that we would use our talents to glorify Him as a living sacrifice. The purpose for God equipping you with natural spirit and spiritual abilities is that so you would glorify Him. Being a believer does not give us immunity from squandering our talents. We see that in the life of Samson. It does not give us immunity from squandering our talents. We must be diligent in how we exercise our talents and use them for the Lord. Samson is the example of a believer who mostly squandered his talents. And yet, in Hebrews chapter 11, in the hall of faith, Samson is named specifically. His name appears in the hall of faith because in the end, he finally used his abilities for God's purpose. It was not until Samson had been humiliated. He was going to see this woman, Delilah, and finally he told her the truth. The source of his strength was his long hair. And that wasn't really the source of his strength. The source of his strength was his obedience to God and not shaving his head as part of the Nazarite vow. That was really the source of his strength. But the source of his strength was his long hair, and once his locks were shorn, then he lost all of his strength. And the Philistines took him and captured him. He could not break out anymore from their chains and from their ropes. And they plucked his eyes out. They put his eyes out. They made him blind. And they brought him and they humiliated him and they humbled him before the nation of the Philistines. And they used him to do labor and they used him for sport to make fun of him. But one day his hair began to grow. And they had him chained up at this big, at probably what was the pagan temple for the Philistines. And his hair began to grow. And his hair grew out and they didn't notice, or maybe they didn't realize really what the significance was. But that day he brought down the temple. In his great strength, he pulled down the pillars of the temple and he killed more than 1,000 Philistines that day in collapsing the temple as they had this huge celebration. And although God had given Samson 20 years to be the judge of Israel, it wasn't until the very end of his life that he accomplished what God had given him to do. He had 20 years to do what God wanted him to do. He had 20 years to begin the deliverance of his people from the Philistines. And he didn't do it until the very end. He wasted 20 years of his life. Just think what he could have accomplished in those 20 years if he had used his abilities for the Lord from the beginning. If he had used his abilities to serve his people, to serve others from the beginning, as God wants us to do with our gifts and talents. That's what he wants us, we've seen it. We're given so that we can serve other people. And that in turn glorifies God. What if Samson had served his nation by delivering the people over the 20 years? What more could he have accomplished? He wasted his time as a judge, and it wasn't until the end of his life that he finally did what God wanted him to do. Being a good steward of your talents means that you use them as God intended. It means that you use them to serve other people and thereby glorify God. Jesus put it this way, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Well, how are you going to do good works? From your talents and abilities. And when people see that, they will glorify your Father which is in heaven. So the question is this, how are you doing this morning with your talents and abilities? How are you doing this morning? Are you stewarding them and developing them? Or are you wasting them? Maybe God has given you some ability. Maybe God has given you, as far as natural ability, maybe He's given you musical ability, and maybe you need to develop that and hone that skill so that you can use it for the Lord. How are you doing this morning? Are you being a good steward of your abilities and developing them? Or are you just wasting them? Are you using your talents and abilities to serve other people? Are you using them to glorify the Lord? whatever talents you have, are you using them to glorify God? Are you using them to serve others? Your spiritual ability. Maybe you have one of those spiritual gifts, but you refuse to use it because it's not the one you want. You want a different one. So I'm not going to use the one I've got. Are you using those to serve other people? Are you using your spiritual gifts to be a blessing in the church? Or are you keeping it hidden? Or are you withholding your gift because you're disappointed in what you got? One of the worst things at Christmas is to see the kids open their gifts and it's not what they wanted and they just pout. They just pout and they complain and they're just cranky all the time. They're not grateful. Are you withholding your gift because you're disappointed in what you got? Maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've never trusted Jesus Christ. It would be almost impossible for you to glorify God with your talents because you don't really know Him. This doesn't even apply to you. Yes, you have the natural talent and ability, but you can't use it to glorify God because you don't have a relationship with Him. He's prepared a way for you to have a relationship to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you say, I don't even know that I'm born again, this church exists so that you can know that. So that you can know that you're born again, so that you can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and then you can go on to use your talents and abilities for the Lord. That's the purpose of this church. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, come see me after the service. Come see one of our men after the service. Let us take the Bible and show you what it means to be a Christian. But for the rest of us, God has given us talents so that we can be good stewards of them. Let us be good stewards of them. Let us use our talents to serve other people. Let's not be like Samson and use our talents to fulfill our lust, but let's use our talents in the way that God expects us to use them. We see the source of our talents. The Lord is the source. We see the application of our talent in serving other people. And we see the purpose of our talent to glorify the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we do love you, Lord, and we do thank you for this time that we've had together, Lord. We thank you for this month, Lord, as we look at these things of stewardship, Lord. And it can be very convicting to consider how are we using our lives, Lord.